Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Philadelphia Sports Nation. I'm your host, Julian Bry, the King, and today I'm happy to be joined by Vance Bonsall, if I have that correct. What's up, Vance?
Yep, Bonsall. Hi, how are you? How you doing, Julian?
Hey, what's up, man? So this is our very first show. I'm glad to get things started here at Philadelphia Sports Nation. Just started a couple weeks ago, so glad to be the host of this show, as I've been handed down the responsibility to host this show each and every week. We'll go live each and every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So hope you guys out there, new people tuning in, enjoy the show each and every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So today we got a show on the Philadelphia Phillies. The Philadelphia Phillies drafted a couple players in the MLB draft last night that included Cornelius Randolph and Scott Kingery. I wanted to first start off by getting your thoughts on these picks, Vonch, and whether or not these picks make the Phillies' future brighter.
Well, I thought that, first of all, Randolph's pick was a bit surprising based on, you know, some scouts out there, some experts out there, that players like Kyle Tucker, Gene Happ, or another pitcher, after the success, the seeming success with Aaron Nola last year. So with this selection of Randolph, I think that the Phillies are looking for the future of at second base. Though he's a shortstop right now, it seems like Sutley's career begins winding down. It seems like Randolph is being brought in to develop to be that future second baseman. I don't know what your thoughts are on what position he can play, because I know he can play, you know, second, third, and short, as well as, I believe, the outfield he could potentially move to. So, I don't know, what do you think for the position he might be playing in the next level?
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about the Phillies' future now that they have been compiling some more prospects recently. A couple of years back, their farm system was a little bit depleted, but now with Cornelius Randolph, J.P. Crawford, Michael Franco, things are starting to look up a bit. And I think within some time, this team should be able to get back on their feet just a bit. But talk about Cornelius Randolph first of all. Cornelius, I feel, is a solid bat. Won't ever be a number one or number two bat in the Phillies line, but will certainly come in handy down the line. Certainly a wonderful guy to have in anyone's clubhouse, a high character guy. You know, players such as J.P. Crawford, Franco will certainly enjoy having this guy around the clubhouse. He is certainly one of those guys people will certainly enjoy having around, but he's a great hitter, very known for his approach at the plate. Fielder, however, many Philly fans are wondering, where will this guy happen to play? Will he happen to play in the infield? Will he happen to play in the outfield? Well, I truly believe he's going to likely play in left field. And Johnny Amaraz, the head scouting director of the Philadelphia Phillies, even stated that Cornelius played 80% of his time in left field the times they scouted him. So it's most likely with a talented arm Cornelius has sticks in left field and gets called up to the big leagues in no time. He's a high school bat, so take him about 2 to 4 years to get up in the major leagues. But make no doubt mistake about it. Cornelius will be in the major leagues all because of his bat. His bat is what's going to lead him to the major leagues, as Jonathan Mayo, the MLB draft insider, stated last night on MLB Network, that Cornelius will make it to the big leagues all because of his bat. He has a wonderful approach to the plate. His batting stance, his batting swing is sort of favorably compared to Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn and Robinson Cano. They have pretty quick swings, short swings. And you see, everyone was saying, "Oh, why didn't the Phillies decide to take a catcher?" Well, there weren't that many great catchers in the first round this year. And if you look at Tyler Stevenson, for example, the only reason why I bring up Tyler Stevenson is because he has a long swing, and I don't think the Phillies really want to go that route. And really, any other team these days, take a guy that risk with a long swing, such as Stevenson. Look at Dominic Brown. Just goes to tell you how hard it is to be more versatile at the plate, Stevenson was one of the guys mentioned. Chris Betts is also one of the guys mentioned, but at the end, the Phillies decided to take on Cornelius Randolph, a guy who will eventually add some power to his arsenal within time. He's occasionally hit for pop, but will certainly develop some power as time goes along. So I'm really fascinated by this pick. Didn't really expect the Phillies to take Cornelius Randolph, but hey, I think the Phillies got one of the best bats in this draft from high school. Is he the best bat from high school, as Johnny Almaraz alluded to? I'm not so sure. Johnny, I might have to disagree with on this particular thing he said. I just think Brandon Rogers is possibly, or Kyle Tucker, possibly the best one, probably up there over Cornelius is the best, one of the best high school bats out of the draft. But Cornelius got drafted 10th overall by the Philadelphia Phillies, and that is no nothing to hang your head down on. Cornelius got drafted in a good spot, and he was projected to go 19th overall, somewhere around 19th overall, and the 20s, but hey, he certainly made out well by being drafted 10th overall from the Philadelphia Phillies. I was even looking at their draft war room while the MLB draft was going on. You could see Ruben Amaro Jr.'s face. You know, he was just so elated to see Cornelius Randolph, his name on MLB Network, called by, announced by MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. You can certainly tell by Ruben Amaro Jr.'s face and the whole rest of their front office that they got a winning bat in Cornelius Randolph. Will Randolph, however, be some sort of catalyst? Well, I'll say, like I said before, he's number one, not ever going to really be a number one, number two bat, most likely. And look, some people are saying, oh, well, the Phillies didn't fill in for need. They went after talent, and they did that by drafting Cornelius Randolph. You get a talent who you could stick in the infield, but I preferably put him in the outfield, who can really fill in a need. Like I said, the Phillies aren't quite filling. They didn't fill a need. Their intention was not to fill a need, but they quite technically filled a need in one of the corners, a corner outfields by taking Cornelius Randolph. So you look right. at the team, you look at the team's outlook. They have Cornelius Randolph. So I'm just going based off the Phillies' farm system and guys called up such as Michael Franco and a few others right now. The Phillies, if you look ahead, 2017, they have Michael Franco, J.P. Crawford, Cornelius Randolph, Roman Quinn, maybe Odubel Herrera, Freddie Galvis fit somewhere in the equation.
Maybe after Dominic Brown as well. Could be
what's that?
One of the outfielders. After Dominic Brown could also be part of that mix, depending on how they do in these next few years.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure about Dominic Brown. I mean, what do you think about Dominic Brown?
I mean, he's definitely struggled since his the carry went on last year. A few weeks later, was just red hot at the plate. I think it's his time now to find himself and become an everyday player in major leagues. He's not even up on the roster right now. He's in the minor leagues right now. So, honestly, how much we can put on him, I can't really say, because he's been very inconsistent. And to be a strong player in the major leagues, you have to have consistency because, you know, there are plenty of guys coming up in the minor leagues. We see how many players the Phillies are coming up in the next few years only. And, of course, with Randolph's selection, even more competition in the outfield. So, at least for Brown, it's going to be tough to find consistent playing time if he's not going to be a consistent hitter and prove he can field his position, because he struggled with that as well last year. As far as Cody Askew, though, I mean, he's shown some bright spots. I think that if he can learn the position of left field better, he could be back up here and at least get a chance to show himself. Because obviously, you know, right now he's supposed to be the left fielder, as they say. But of course, all these guys coming up, who knows how long Askew will be playing significant time at left field. So we'll see how that turns out in the next few years.
Yeah, look, Dominic Brown, 27 years old, hitting .225 right now in the minors. I'm a bit concerned about Dominic Brown. I'm not so sure if his future is cemented in Philadelphia either. I just don't really know what to make of Dominic Brown. Previously before, rated as a number four prospect in minor league baseball, Dominic Brown's career has pretty much plummeted, and it's hard to take in because Dominic Brown had such a wonderful month of May last year. Did pretty good for a while early last year, but then really fell off and now finds himself back in the minors. And is this the third, fourth time he's back in the minors? I mean, it's just really a shame. I'm just not quite sure at all. I just, from my perspective too, don't believe Dominic will be back in Philadelphia next year, possibly. I mean, he's eligible to possibly test the market, but really not so sure about him and how he sustains longer. Because everyone talks about his future in Philadelphia, but how does he sustain longer with how he's been playing, with how he's been keeping up? But you have Dominic Brown, and as you mentioned, Cody Askew. Cody Askew, look, he's another guy who I got excited about for a little while, but yet you come to think about it, he could maybe in 2017 be a bench player, versatile bench player in left field, third base, et cetera. He's just one of those type of guys who really can plug in and hit you some good production every once in a while. I'll say that about Cody Askew. It's just, you know, he's not very consistent at times, and you just like him. Because don't get me wrong, he's a great athlete, great fielder. I think he's a good solid all-around player, but it's just a matter of being consistent more at the plate. And ever since the Phillies called him up again, the Phillies have been looking for him to increase his production, and he just hasn't done that. So I'd see at the moment, I'd see Cody Askew as more of a bench player, but yeah, definitely don't rule out his future Cody Ashe, corner outfielder. That's another thing. So we have a void at the other corner. We have a void at the other corner, and we have a void at catcher, pretty much. Because I'd say we'll certainly see Roman Quinn, Cornelius Randolph, J.P. Crawford, Michael Franco, maybe Scott Kingery, okay? We haven't really touched on Scott Kingery yet. Scott Kingery, their second round pick just from last night out of Arizona, is a pretty special talent. Coming out of Arizona, played right next to Kevin Newman and led the NCAA in batting average. He's one of those type of guys who you can plug into the top of your lineup and hit for great average. He's just more of a I don't know. People are saying is he a replacement to Chase Utley? Well, it's possible. But would you say does he come as far as expectations as Chase Utley? No, because he's just that one of those type of guys who will pull for occasional power, but won't always be, quite frankly, a guy you could plug into to the top of your lineup and hit easily for contact. So I'd say Scott Kingery is a player to watch out for. Forgot what he said in a recent interview. Trying to remember here. Actually, I'm going to look it up. So while I look it up, Vance, what do you think about Scott Kingery?
Yeah, so I wanted to touch on that. Basically, adding to your point is that, you know, as we said yesterday, we can, you know, kind of mix and match and kind of make our, you know, future lineups, as we say. But, you know, honestly, you can't tell with these prospects who's going to make it, who's not going to make it, who's going to blossom into what they expected, who's going to, you know, kind of fall by the wayside, as it were. So I have another guy like Kingery, who's a technically an infielder. It makes me good because, obviously, you know, guys like Utley and Howard are on their way out. We just saw Rollins being traded last offseason. We need a lot of new faces in the infield to make sure that we can get another strong, you know, core four of infielders for a few years to come. Now, the good thing about Kingery is, you know, he's a college player versus Randolph, who came coming out of high school. So college players tend to come up to the major leagues a little bit faster, of course, because they have some more seasoning, and they play at the college level. They play at Arizona, which is, you know, it's a good level of competition to start off with. And, you know, once he begins playing in the Philly system, it shouldn't be too long until he comes up. And there have been players across the league. One that comes to mind right now, of course, is Matt Harvey, who's dominating in New York right now. Now, he went to college, played for UNC, and he was picked in 2010. And he came up, you know, maybe, I want to say, within 2 years of being selected, he came up in 2012. And then, you know, the second season, he was tearing it up in 2013, starting the All-Star game. So that just shows that college players, when they come up to the major leagues, they're more ready than the high school kids. And we saw that, we're seeing that with Aaron Nola as well. He was a college kid. Was drafted by the Phillies, and you know, not too long after he was drafted, he's going to be coming up pretty soon. So I think that Kingery is a guy we'll probably see soon if he develops the way he should. You know, he's a good average. He's definitely able to play the middle infield. He played some shortstop in high school, although he played outfield at Arizona. Another thing about his game, of course, is the versatility. So having him and Randolph, another guy being so versatile, will help to create a lineup that will allow the best players to play at the best positions while not taking less money to defense. So hopefully this pick works out, and I think that there's some bright spots with these first two picks.
Yeah, like you said, Vash, but Scott Kingery is likely to make it very quick through the minor league system, all because of the fact that he has had experience in college. So he is a lock to be possibly up in time around 2017, but But I was just looking here. He compared himself to Ian Kinsler. Not so bad of a comparison. Compared himself to Ian Kinsler and also found out that Scott Kingery came on as a walk-on at Arizona.
Oh, really?
So he never knew that he had this much potential up till now to be a second-round pick taken by the Philadelphia Phillies. In fact, he was projected as a first-round pick, but as it turned out, the Phillies took him in the second round, and as you said, Vince, he should be in the majors maybe at best 2017. We could be looking at 2017 here with Scott Kingery. He could very well make it through the minor leagues faster than Cornelius Randolph for sure. So you'd likely see Scott Kingery at second base, J.P. Crawford, Michael Franco. I mean, like I said at the start of the show, things are starting to look up a bit with compiling some of these prospects now. You have to wonder about their pitching, because like you said, Vance, they picked up Aaron Nola, SEC pitcher, you know, having his best season yet in the minors. Everyone's saying that this guy should be called up right now with the way he's pitching down in Reading, but they have Aaron Nola, and then who else? I mean, really, I think Ben Lively, Zach Eflin, Jesse Biddle, most of those guys have the potential of being middle of the rotation starters. So I'd be a little concerned. Maybe, even if the Phillies trade away Cole Hamels, because there's a bunch of Cole Hamels rumors going out there, and there's nothing for sure that the Phillies have an ace in Aaron Nola. There's no guarantee at all that the Phillies have an ace after life without Cole Hamels. So they not only picked up Aaron Nola last year, but they also picked up Shane Watson. I think some people forgot about him. I mean, he hasn't really seen much playing time because he's been suspended. He's undergone arm surgery. So Shane Watson also, you just got to look at the progress these guys are making in the minors. So I look strongly out for those guys I mentioned before, but also Shane Watson, because he was also a former first-round pick in which the Phillies have high expectations for. So you'd hope that Shane Watson can get together. You can only hope some of these guys can come up and be a force in the rotation, because without Cole Hamels, the Phillies definitely need to find some more pitchers. There's no guarantee Jesse Biddle, Zach Eflin, Ben Lively will even make the rotation. They might very well just go on to be relievers. So you gotta feel a bit concerned about the rotation as Cole Hamels rumors are swirling around. Vance,
yeah.
What do you think the Phillies? Because it's been heavily talked about. What should the Phillies do about Cole Hamels?
So I definitely think that this is the year to trade him. The team's not going anywhere. To your point about having to draft the pitchers that will make up the top of the rotation as well as the middle. I mean, I could see this team has a lot of money. This team is one of the bigger market teams, so I wouldn't be overly concerned about that just the rotation, because there's a few years before these infielders and these hitters come up and really blossom anyway. So I feel like with the money that'll be coming in with the Comcast deal, there's some more future drafts. Aaron Nola's coming up soon. Hopefully Watson figures it out. I think they'll get a rotation together by in the future that hopefully will match the ability that these hitters seem to had the potential of. As far as Hamels, though, I think that this is the year to get the movement, get something back. Apparently, there's not that much, they haven't been getting the greatest offers based on what people have reported. Also, I feel like, you never know with Ruben Amaro, because we've seen him in the past and asking too much for players. He's not exactly the greatest guy to deal with in trades, as we've heard. Hopefully, he hits on this. He needs to get back at least, one or two, at least one, multiple above average prospects is what you need. Because for a pitcher of this caliber in this league where, teams are just struggling to find top of the rotation pitchers, and where in playoff series, pitching is everything. There definitely must be a market for Hamels. However, I know that I think the Red Sox and the Cubs are potential Hamels suitors. Now, obviously, things won't really heat up, I don't think, until July. The teams are kind of figuring out who's in the race, who's out of the race. I know USA Today had a piece a couple weeks back that things are starting to get heated up. honestly, with Hamels, you have a talented pitcher who's still at a decent age, he's proving himself World Series MVP. Teams are going to be knocking at the door. You saw the Cardinals lose Adam Wainwright a while ago to injury. The Red Sox have one of the worst ERAs in the league. With that offense, you got some pitching to go far. Even the Toronto Blue Jays are doing pretty well in a weak AL East. So, they're going to need some pitching up as well if they want to make a run. So I feel like prospective deals are out there. I think that just waiting until July, maybe wait till the deadline to get the best deal, of course, is the way to go. There's no rush to trade him. There's no rush to, there's no need to keep him either. But the right deal presents itself, hopefully Amaro pulls the trigger. Because at this stage, the Phillies need to just build stockpile prospects. The same way Kiki Vitekic is doing, he's stockpiling picks. The Phillies need to stockpile prospects and just hope that a few of them work out. And, eventually they'll have some good prospective players because of this deal.
Tell me what you think about this trade right here.
All right.
Cole Hamels for Yaisil Puig and Julio Urias.
Could you repeat the last name again so I couldn't catch that?
What's that?
Could you repeat the last name? I couldn't hear you, the second player.
Urias.
Okay. I think, I think that I would do that deal. I know Puig, of course, he's had his attention with some of the personality issues. But he's a really talented outfielder. And having Urias as a second prospect to add into the mix, that's the deal you want, because you have the star potential in Puig, and then, more on top of it. Whereas people are proposing Puig for Hamels straight up, and I wouldn't do that, but this deal makes a lot more sense to me. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
All right, so I truly believe the Phillies' future would look a lot brighter, if they trade away Cole Hamels for Julio Urias and Yaisil Puig. Julio Urias rated the number one left-hand all of minor league baseball. I believe he's currently throwing 1.48 ERA down the minors. Very, very talented. Could say that he'll have a all-star career, if not a Hall of Fame career. I truly believe Julio Urias, a guy to keep an eye out for. And he's a left-hand pitcher, so he can certainly add in a left-hand pitcher to the Phillies' starting rotation. So Julio Urias, a guy I'd be intrigued to see as part of the Philadelphia Phillies, and Yaisho Puig. Yaisho Puig, as we all know, a Cuban phenomenon. He's a really good player who can hit for power, hit for line drives. Yaisho Puig can do it all. And he's 24 years old and would certainly change the perspective on this franchise currently, because without a superstar name in the Phillies system right now, the Phillies leave you a bit worry of their future, because they have Michael Franco. They certainly have some talent, especially down in the farm system. But none of these guys have superstar potential like Yaisho Puig. So if you bring in a guy like Yaisho Puig, he can certainly change around the perspective on the Phillies quickly. At 24 years of age, he can grow with Michael Franco, J.P. Crawford, Scott Kingery, Cornelius Randolph, and add on some power to the lineup. That's another thing. The Phillies need to add on some power to the lineup, because I truly don't see Michael Franco as a cleanup hitter ever. I think he's more of a number. Well, he's definitely the Phillies' best hitter at the moment, but I'd say he's like a guy you put in at the five hole in your lineup. A guy you just put right behind a guy like Yaisho Puig.
Even as the third hitter, if you develop, have him hitting in front of Puig, where you have those two guys at the center of your lineup. You have the top two guys getting on base, and you have Franco and Puig in a row to try and have them. I think that'll be even another option they could go with, because both guys have shown power, at least in Franco's brief time, he's shown power. Puig has shown he can hit the long ball as well. Last season, Puig had 16 RBIs in 145 games or so. It's a decent number for a rising prospect. He's only 23 years old at the last year. So I think that the other thing is with Puig, obviously, we've seen the tickets and attendance go down significantly. So if you make this deal this year, people will come out to see to watch Puig. People will come out to watch Franco. You bring Aaron Nola up maybe by the end of this year. People will come up to watch him too. So you start to bring that attendance back, that interest back, that passion back that you lost in the last few years where they've been struggling. And then, you have some time for the younger guys, Scott Kingery, the Randolph, Quinns for the world to develop. And then you have the money coming in, Comcast money that you can spend on free agents. You make the right moves, you can definitely build a team that can compete within the next 2 to 4 years. All at the same time, still having a good interest in the fan base, because you can see these guys develop in front of your eyes. And like you said, the star power of Puig is also a very attractive thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, someone might be listening right now going, is this even realistic? Yaisho Puig and Julio Urias to the Phillies for Cole Hamels? I think it is. I think it is because, look, there's been history back and forth between the Dodgers and Yaisho Puig. Yaisho Puig has really gotten on to front office management, and with new general manager Andrew Freeman now, Freeman might decide, well, with Zach Greinke's contract coming up soon, we can add in a valuable player, valuable contract, since most pitchers are up and up the ante as off seasons continuously progress. value someone like Cole Hamels in rotation with Clayton Kershaw, Ryu, whomever else. Cole Hamels can give him. His contract runs after 4 years, but would say he has probably a good 6 years left on him. I mean, Cole Hamels can still go, and he's been pitching at a high level this year. So Ramon Amaro Jr. obviously has to make an impact around the trade deadline. And I think this is how you make an impact. This is how you make an impact, by trading away Cole Hamels for Yaisel Puig and Julio Urias. You may question Yaisel Puig's character, personality, but I think that just comes with the price of having a superstar like Yaisel Puig, who isn't so bad of a guy at all. I mean, I just say that all because of his age, he's just a little bit immature. And as time goes on, I mean, just imagine a couple years from now, Yaisel Puig could very well be more mature than he is now. So I just think that all comes down to maturity with Yaisel Puig. There's no questioning the fact that he's a nice, genuine guy in the clubhouse. So I just say maturity is just a matter of how Yaisel Puig progresses throughout his major league career. He's done fantastic. Looking at the numbers, he's done fantastic. Nothing has set him back. None of the media reports have set him back. Well, Yaisel Puig knows who he is, and he knows for a fact that he is someone to really, really pay for the price of Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels. We've been hearing will cost two, possibly three top-rated prospects, but with a superstar like Yaisel Puig, with a tag in of Julio Urias, I feel just solves it all for the Phillies' future and the Dodgers' rotation especially. So in answer to the question of the day, today's show, I think the Phillies are heading in the right direction, but their future would look a lot brighter with a guy like Yaisel Puig and Julio Urias, because I really feel they picked up some solid players in this draft that include Cornelius Randolph and Scott Kingery. You could also add in the guy they just drafted in the fourth round, first baseman. Not on top of my head, but they drafted a slugging first baseman.
Kyle Martin, I believe.
What's that?
Kyle Martin.
Look, the Phillies also have to think about what's life after Ryan Howard. They have Darren Ruff. Art Charles, who's doing pretty well in AA right now, and then Kyle Martin. You hear reports the Phillies want to sign Jalen Ortiz, who's one of the big international sluggers off the international market this year. So if the Phillies could also come away with Jalen Ortiz, because, look, bottom line is this, the Phillies need a superstar. They need some other superstar with Michael Franco in their lineup, because even though they came out pretty well in the draft this year, they still didn't come away with a superstar that guarantees me that the Phillies are headed in a contending.
Right. I believe that, considering at least a small sample size this year is that, without Puig, he was injured for a little bit this year. He's only played in 13 games so far, actually. So even with his absence, the Dodgers have gone 8 games over 500 to this point. So to your point that the Phillies need a superstar, I think that Puig would be that. Whether or not they can add more to that deal beyond just doing Puig and Hamels would be great, but I think that even if it was just Puig for Hamels, I would do that deal because, you know, at this point, I feel like Hamels, he doesn't have long left until, you know, I feel like he starts to have a different production as well. I think that that might be hurting the Phillies a bit on the market, too. Plus, I don't know how much the Phillies want to eat at the salary. Any team trying to make a deal would have to pay that as well. So we'll see how it goes, but I believe that Puig is a guy they need to bring in for sure to add some star power to this team.
Yeah. We've heard the Red Sox. We've heard the Cardinals, but I find no one else exceptional than Yasiel Puig and maybe Aaron Judge, because I'm also really high on Aaron Judge in the Yankees farm system. I think he is the future of the New York Yankees, and if the Yankees really want to bolster their rotation with Cole Hamels, I think they'd have to sacrifice a guy like Aaron Judge to the Philadelphia Phillies. So, I mean, you could say Aaron Judge is an exceptional talent as well. But,
I mean,
if the Phillies were to come away with three prospects like Mookie Betts, Manuel Margot, Blake Swihart, I'm still not convinced because I'm telling you, I think you still need an exceptional talent next to Mike Delfranco somewhere in the Phillies lineup. Blog Talk is about to kick us off. So I want to thank the listeners for tuning in. I want to thank Vance for joining the show. Please follow us on Twitter, also on the website, PhiladelphiaSportsNation.com, PHLSportsNation.com. So hope you guys enjoyed this show today. I've been your host, Truman Brother the King. We'll be back next Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So with that, thank you guys. And peace out.
Good, thanks, guys.